AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And today is what day? April the 1st. And the studio is packed with people. We don't know what to do. I have to get, you know, a crowd pleaser over here to get some of these people in order. Well, that's not a fact. But what is a fact is today is April 1st, and I want to make sure that all of you go out of your way to cheer somebody up by telling them some funny stuff today or whatever. Do something to enjoy the April Fool's holiday. Well, I want to welcome you and ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. We're going to have a very, very interesting program today. Remember, if your friends and family live outside the Philadelphia and tri-state area, they can listen live by going to the front page of our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And when you go on that site, you'll see members of our panel who join me each and every week, including Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel is on travel today, so we will wish him the very best. And also in studio with me, I have another very important gentleman who is very helpful, who knows the world of business and everything else. His name is Matt Stubinsky, and we're going to hear from him as the program goes on today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the goal of our broadcast is to promote positive focus on how important it is for the American people to support one another. And as you know, this weekend is the first weekend of the month. So we are celebrating the April edition of National Small Business Weekend, an effort to encourage businesses to do everything possible to welcome new customers and keep their local businesses vibrant throughout the year. Don't only go to your local distributors or your stores during National Small Business Weekend, but do help them out throughout the year because they are really keeping our businesses in the communities vibrant. I want to compliment the amount of people that let us know about Patrice Banks, who was our guest last week from Girls Auto Clinic. And she does have a link on the front page of American Workers Radio. You'll see those legs and red high heels sticking out, and they look really great. So I want to thank Larkin, who is joining us today from a distance, and want to thank him for bringing Patrice in because the ladies loved it. Larkin, the ladies loved it.
Well, I think most of the men that have ever seen Patrice loved it also.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to her being with us. And before I say another thing I want to mention, I want everybody to mark their calendar for Wednesday, April the 29th, because that's going to be a very special day in Philadelphia as we welcome Mark Andel, who will be joining us on the radio program. We'll be doing some things in historic Philadelphia and even be able to gather to watch the movie with him and then enjoy a few snacks and refreshments following the music. And the movie, more information next weekend, but do mark that on your calendar, Wednesday, April the 28th. Larkin, how are you doing?
I am wonderful, Michael. Thank you for asking. Henry, good morning. Rich, good morning. Last Friday, Michael, I was legitimately a citizen of one of America's finest cities, Philadelphia, living in the Queen Village area. I woke up Monday morning to be a citizen in Green Cove Springs, Florida, and I speak to you from the Jacksonville airport. And I guess moving down here for a variety of reasons is going to have me spending an awful lot of time in airports flying around.
Well, Larkin, we're not going to allow you to miss too many American Workers radio sessions.
I don't plan to miss any, and I will be there the 29th.
And wonderful, because we're going to have a full house on the 29th. I'm looking forward to seeing Rich Logis here. Rich, how is everything with you on this April Fool's Day?
Hey, good morning, guys, and our listeners. And Larkin,
Let me officially welcome you to Florida. And my first bit of advice, actually two things. Make sure you find out, you know, the nude beaches down here blend into the regular beaches. So you're going to want to check that before you and Joe, your wife, hit the beach. But the other thing I'm going to recommend, get your Florida ID quickly. Do it quickly. You're going to hear the horror stories about it. But welcome. You know, very happy to have you here. And, guys, I'm in. Michael, I'm in. Just for our listeners, I'm coming up for the April event as well. And Larkin, again, thanks for Patrice last week. She and I have been emailing off air and let her know that we're looking forward to meeting her as well. But April Fool's, Michael, first quarter done. First quarter was overall a good one. Wasn't a great one, but a good one. And just gearing up. Time's flying by and just gearing up, you know, taking it day by day. Keep the eye on the ball. So everything's good down here.
So, Rich, I hate to burst your bubble. You're not the first one to officially welcome me. Sunday evening about 8:30, a Florida State trooper stopped me to inform me that I was doing 90 miles an hour coming out of the state of Georgia. And he was really the first one to officially welcome you.
But wait a minute. He didn't officially welcome you with a piece of paper, did he, Larkin?
Oh, yes, he did.
That was not a nice welcome.
I said, you know, in Philadelphia, it's parking tickets. Now you got to tell me that the state of Florida, it's speeding tickets.
You know what, Larkin? You have to get one of those cars where you have a speed inhibitor, a governor, where you set it at 60 or whatever the limit is. And I have the same problem sometimes. If I'm in a rush someplace, I think, oh, I better set it so it doesn't go above 58 or 60, so that I'm not cheered up with one of those pieces of paper.
Well, we've been driving for 12 hours, so it got away from me. And the truth of the matter is, I showed him my license and told him I was moving to Greensboro, and that everything I owned was about 45 minutes behind me on a truck. And he said, you know what, I couldn't possibly give you a ticket. Welcome to Florida and slow it down.
Well, that was nice of him. He gave you a warning.
He gave me a warning.
Whoa, that's what I like to hear.
That's that Larkin charm at work.
That did it. Larkin's charm did it. Guys, I want to welcome someone to our broadcast today. His name is Matt Stubinsky, and I'm going to ask Matt to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
I'm Matt Stubinsky. I'm glad to be here. Currently, I'm working. I work for a newspaper called Advertising Communication Times. It serves the Philadelphia region, and it basically caters to local small businesses. It's basically a full spectrum marketing and advertising newspaper, trade related.
Very nice. And Matt is a young guy. He graduated from a great college, and now he's in the world of becoming a businessman who knows how to present himself and do great work to do that. And, you know, focus and consistency these days is very important. And as I mentioned to many of the people that I had the opportunity to talk with at the Small Business Expo, some of the people said, I like all of your panel members, what they have to say. And I said, yeah, and people who were tuning in for a long time had never even thought that it was a fact that 10,000 people retire every day, and that 10,000 people, out of that 10,000 people, at least 8,000 people represent individuals with high-skilled jobs. So our job here on American Workers Radio is really to promote ways to get those trades back in the schools. And by the way, Mark is going to be very pleased when he comes to Philadelphia, because we are making progress. Our new governor, Tom Wolf, is going around the state, and he's promoting jobs returning to the different industries. He's asking them what they need, how much they need, what their five-year plan is. This is something I'm very pleased with, and I think that it would be good if many of our governors got together in this region, and of course the USA too, and discuss what we really need, because as people do retire, We need people on a daily basis to replace them. It's not something we can wait 3 or 5 years to attain. You know, Larkin, it isn't. It's unbelievable how we could be anywhere now and actually be on air. You know, it's unbelievable. Modern technology has made this a whole new world.
I was talking to my wife this morning. We're sitting there having breakfast in a bay window looking out on a golf course. I know that's tough for you all to accept. And I had my cell phone in my hand. And I was coming up the page in IKEA and Overstock.com. We were looking for a specific chair. And I said to my wife, you know, this is just crazy. One of our grandparents would have to go to a store and visit the store or get the JCPenney catalog and thumb through the catalog and then go to the store and have it delivered. Now I can look at 700 chairs at Overstock.com and literally order it and have it delivered to my front door. And if I don't like the color or it doesn't fit, just turn around and ship it right back. And so what a changed world we live in today.
Yep.
And as far as Wolf is concerned, all of the governors need to stop the lip service about jobs and then go out and start creating jobs, start creating the atmosphere that in and of itself will create jobs. And as soon as they get that, as soon as they understand that there has to be access to capital, there has to be an educated workforce, and we've got to get back to blue-collar labor being the backbone of this country. You know, we can give all the speeches we want. But, you know, just going around and saying your five-year plan, you know, Tom Wolf, the jury's still out on him for me, and you know that.
Yes.
But you know, it's action. I got to see some action. I got to see Tom Wolf say, you know what, we're taking a whole bunch of money out of here, and we're putting it over here, and this is money that we're making accessible to people who want to start or grow small business.
You know, Larkin, I had Walt Jakubowski on the phone yesterday, and he was telling me about one of his plans to get the schools together. In fact, when Mark comes up on the 29th, I'm going to have a few of the leaders from the different schools and even some people from Harrisburg come to discuss with us what they are looking to do to change the scenario. It seems that everybody thought that America is going to be a service-oriented economy, and of course the political leaders agreed with it, so everybody did nothing. But now we see that for our own security, for our own benefit, and mainly for our people in the USA to have a living, we have to do something about it. It's up to every governor, all 50 states. You said 2 years ago, Rich, we should have all 50 governors come. In fact, I would like to see them. I'd like to welcome them to Philadelphia to come and discuss what are we going to do to get those jobs back. What are we going to?
Well, I would, Michael. I would, and I would amend that now. You know, a couple years later, with more history and empirical data to go based on. But one thing I would amend that on is that if I'm a governor, while I am willing to meet with other governors, I'm also, my first and foremost concern is my state. And as we saw with Rick Scott here in Florida, when I was in last month, we were talking about Governor Rick Scott coming into Philly. And Governor Rick Scott comes into Philadelphia to take, well, I don't want to say to take, let me rephrase that, to create incentives to try to incentivize businesses to leave the Metro Philly area to come to Florida. Well, that's a free market at work, Michael.
Hey, Rich, that word is attract, and quite frankly, that's my government. The guy will get on a plane and fly to a state that is overtaxing its businesses and not creating a small business atmosphere, and try to attract them down to his state with incentives on tax breaks and such. That's my governor.
That's your new governor. You're right. Man, Larkin, I'm going to miss you. This is terrible. South Street's going to miss you. Larkin, South Street's going to miss you. O'Neill's is going. The next time we're going to see O'Neill's, does that mean, is that going to be when Mark is up?
Well, I think, yeah, it'll be the next time I see it. And I told Spoonie, the owner of O'Neill's, that he's going to have to go out and do a little bit of couponing if he wants to stave off that loss of business.
Oh, gosh. Well, I want to remind all of you that we're talking about Mark Andel, and that's on April 29th, a Wednesday. It's going to be an all-day event, but major event in the evening, beginning probably around 5:30. So put that on your calendar, and I'll keep you posted next week as we finalize all the arrangements. But, gentlemen, I want to tell you, in speaking with people like Walt Jakubowski and also our friends in the Latino Contractors Association, Ramon Rucci, I want to compliment all of them for joining our efforts. We had another very productive meeting, and they're in the same situation we are. We want to see people working. We want to see people able to support themselves and their families and not be able to, you know, depend on government or anybody else. That's what made America great. From the time America was founded, it was when the first Polish settlers came to America, and all those people at that time, back in 1608, they all had job opportunities. They fixed the land up. They opened new glass houses. They did certain and special things to move the country forward. And yet, our country now is importing more than we ever did. In fact, as anyone can know, it takes a lot of effort to make anything a success. If you want to do something, you have to really work at it. And I don't believe our national leaders, our National Business Association, our schools, and even our local leaders have done anything really to help our businesses move along. It's on this broadcast and broadcasts like this that we're talking about National Small Business Weekend. A few of the people that I met at the expo said to me, "This is a wonderful idea. Put me on your list." And they said something which was very important when I told them I'd like to have a meeting of some of the people involved in businesses from different areas to come into Center City. Maybe we can have a meeting and move this thing to a bigger and even better thing. The people said, absolutely. So maybe when Mark comes in, we will use this as a second opportunity to promote American Workers Radio, National Small Business Weekend, and all of our efforts to get businesses back on the ball.
Well, the perception, Michael, the problem that national leaders have with not just perception, but I believe reality, and it's trickled into our state elections, is the perception problem is who government really cares most about on a day-to-day basis. And I'm not saying that elected officials never work on important issues, and I agree that it's mostly a thankless job, but the problem that the have and is whom they represent. You know, who answers, when that bat phone that I talked about a long time ago, that red phone like in the show, when that bat phone rings, that's a big donor. And a congressman or a governor or a state senator is much, much more likely to answer that bat phone of a big donor than a small business owner or a senior citizen in an area or a kid, Michael, right out of college, 17, 18 years old, right, who's trying to start a business up. Maybe he's going to a trade school. And again, I'm not saying elected officials never communicate and talk with those people, but there's an elitist problem, a perception elitist problem that our elected officials have, and that's because we as voters have let that happen. You see, anything that happens, Michael, happens because we let it. And as I tell people all the time, doing nothing is still allowing something to occur. People think that sitting home doesn't influence the outcome of things, and they are dead wrong about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every voter that doesn't come out is a support for the voter that, for the person running that could care less. If you really want to see what the American people think is, it should be a mandate of some sort to get the people out over a two-day period or whatever, but should be something like they have in Australia. I know that people will disagree with that, but I'd like to see what the majority of Americans would vote for if they all came out and voted. When you, Larkin knows from working at St. Stan's, the votership is poor when it comes out. You see 15-18%. It's heartbreaking in major elections. That's not the, that, and by the way, where are you going to be on Easter, Larkin? We're going to miss you at St. Stan's.
I ask, it'll be my first missed Easter in about 9 years.
Whoa.
I'll be in Florida. I have not found my church yet.
We're going to have all those Polish hallelujahs, and you're not going to be there.
Have you ever heard of Polish hallelujah with a brooch?
Oh, Lord. Larkin, while you're down in Florida, I'm going to ask for you to speak with your SCORE people there and maybe even talk with some of the local trade schools to see what percentage of their boys and girls are job ready when they get out of school. I want to know if this was only a Philadelphia and tri-state area situation where we don't have enough people ready to go into the schools, or is this something that's a national problem?
So, Michael, in addition to being job ready, and I think it's a national problem, I think Rich would agree that it's, maybe some geographical areas concentrate a little bit more on it, but it's fundamentally an overwhelming problem that we face. But in addition to all of this, bringing the goods, the manufacturing process back to America, is the supply chain itself. We can't build a toaster until we make all of the component parts in this country. We can't build a car until most of the component parts come out of this country. So it's the supply chain to all of the manufacturers that needs to be beefed up too. So the need to start small businesses up and down the line is just almost unbelievable.
You know, Larkin, no matter what happens in our life, it really takes a lot of effort to get results. And for the last 30 years, the new global economy, we saw that nations of the world were investing in their industries that would help their people employ their individuals getting out of schools. And yet we didn't see that in America. Our people, we're going to be a service-oriented economy. And by the way, we see the success of foreign countries every time we go shopping. We look at any kind of goods. We see how good their leadership has done and how poorly America's leadership has done. 30 years after the new global economy has moved forward, we see that many of America's long-established businesses decided they'll open up abroad or maybe contract with companies that are doing that abroad. And we should really stand up, which we have been in the last few years, to make that all turn around. It's an endless example of jobs lost to foreign countries. And one of the examples I've been using for so long, which is the clothing industry. If I said to you, everybody on this April 1st, take off every item of clothing that you have on that is not American made, I would like to see who would be walking around fully clothed. What do you say to that, Rich?
Well, I say to that, Michael, we're going to be up there in April. The weather should be warmer.
You know, Rich, I mean, that's not a bad idea. I don't want to scare any of the attendees off, but we may have to call for something like that. You know, we did that once at the shore. Everybody who has anything that's American-made can keep it on. Anything with that's not American-made, take it off. I think that's a great idea. Then we would see the real situation as it is. When somebody tells me, Michael, when a merchandiser tells me, Michael, if we have 8 to 10% of the clothing that we're featuring on our merchandise list made in America, that's a lot. That's a lot. How can that be? When in 1974 through 76, they did a survey and 90% of all clothing was made in America. How did it happen? Matt's in here looking and saying, oh my God, What are we talking about?
Well, the only thing I got to add to that, I used to work at Under Armour, and if I had to strip down right now, I think I'd only have a pair of Under Armour socks on or whatever. But it's an innovative new thing. Keeps the sweat,
yes, in
sweat
fact,
off
it's
a, but it's. I think we gotta move beyond. We gotta think of the next where things are going.
Yes, in fact, Larkin, while you're down there. And you're down there in a warm state now. I would like to make that challenge on the beach. You can start it on this April Fool's Day and say, everybody in this place, if you're going to frequent a place today, everybody who has something American made, keep it on. And anybody who doesn't, take it off. Let's see how many people are going to be up there.
It'd be embarrassing. I will tell you this, that before I called in for today's program, I stepped into the PGA shop. There's one in just about every airport. They've got great golf clothing, great sportswear. And I was looking for a black golf shirt. I thought if I could find one that was properly priced, that would be fine. And every single one of the golf shirts in this shop, every single one of them is made in Vietnam, every one of them.
Yeah, see, so that gives you proof positive that 30 years after the new global economy moved forward, our economy went flat and below flat. And as Rich says so often, you can't fall off the ground. You know what I'm saying? So
and I'm, quite frankly, if we gave this enormous tax incentive to clothing manufacturers, I don't know that there's anybody in this country that has the equipment that makes golf shirts. I mean, I really don't. I haven't seen an American-made golf shirt in 5 years. So, now we've got to start a small business that builds the looms or whatever the machinery is that builds, that creates the fabric, that creates the garment itself. We've got to go back to square one before we start saying, well, yeah, we can manufacture golf shirts in this country.
And we have a great cotton industry. I mean, just think back to Eli Whitney and all these people. I mean, they invented most of these looms to do all the products. And here now, nothing is in the country. We do have them down south, Larkin. I don't know if they're down in Florida, but down in the Carolinas and all, there are a number of industries. And there are some schools, by the way, and some golf clubs, associations that insist that we're now going to have all of our products made in the USA. Some of the schools insist that their youth in their programs, their athletic programs, all have American made, which is something I think we should all encourage. If we're going to do something, let's start by looking at ourselves. We mentioned once before, next week starts the opening day at the Phillies. Well, could you imagine if every fan sitting there at the stadium had nothing but American-made clothing on? There's going to be probably 40,000 people in the stands. 40,000, if every one of those persons just had to contribute $1 toward a product, if that they were wearing, of course, much more than that. But I'm just saying, look, you'd have $40,000. You times that by the actual price of the item they're wearing, and you'd see how much better our economy would be. So what we're doing, getting back to that 50-50 balance, is not going to be easy, but it is coming around. And Larkin, there are companies who are willing and able to bring us machinery. They may not be here in the USA. Maybe they're in Germany or in other countries. We can buy those machines. We can train our people, and we can start moving the ball here again. We just have to do it.
Well, it has to start somewhere. There's no question of that. And until our business leaders and our government leaders believe that this is important and that it needs to be accomplished, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Guys, I want to say something to you that people, when they say, oh, Michael's promoting manufacturing, he's promoting industries, that's very true. But for every manufacturing job, every few manufacturing jobs, you have people who are then marketing, designing new products, people distributing, packaging, who are going out to sell the products. You know, there's 1,001 things to make that product possible to get it to market. People don't take that into consideration. So our listeners know that because we've said it so many times. But for every 10 manufacturing jobs, I'll bet you 6 additional jobs are created.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, if you were going to do the Phillies opening day, everybody wears American clothes. I mean, Americans are a proud people, and I feel like everyone would be totally on board with that. I'm just thinking, if I were going to participate in such a thing, I would have no idea where to buy all American clothes. You know, I may feel like a lot of people might feel the same as I do. You know, they would buy American, they would do that thing, but, you know, you go to your mall and you don't know where to buy the American-made shirts and American-made pants, and you got to look all over the place. I mean, if the marketing efforts, from a marketing standpoint, I feel like if they were a little better.
You're right, and you know that's not a bad idea. We were asking some time ago for stores to put up a section with an American flag and just promote these products are made in America, but some stores have as high as 98%
sure.
foreign products, and it's frightening. They would have nothing to show. They'd have to have a little cabinet or a closet someplace in the store. But stores marketing, just as Mark Andel is doing that with his store, the Made in America store, we're seeing that people are going out of their way to look for American made. They're speaking up. I mean, sometimes when I go to stores, Matt, people are frightened. They run away. Even when Rich was in town 2 times ago, I took him to one of the buildings and I start questioning the people. And I don't know what his reaction was, but it was pretty unbelievable the way the reaction of the people is. Well, if we had it to sell, we would definitely want to sell it because right. we want to keep our tourists, our visitors, and our customers happy.
The local merchants exercise a Chinese fire drill when Michael comes. The drill is... The drill is don't walk, run very fast. I don't know what Michael told you about. You know, you come on. So we're going to talk about the economy. We're talking about nude beaches and anarchy. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the large money laundering population of Florida since Larkin's here now. So stay tuned for that. But you mentioned about, Matt, being on a paper, working at a paper. So I'm a former newspaper reporter myself,
right?
A former journalist, and it was many, many lives ago, and that was before I went to a career in finance, so I basically went from making no money to having to screw people over to make money. So, you know, no offense if you have any friends or family in finance.
Now, I'm not offended.
Now I've had a company for 7 years where we integrate barcoding technologies into businesses. And I've got a media-related question for you, given that you're really in this industry now.
Okay.
Are newspapers going to be around forever, in your opinion? Do you think that even with digital and the internet, that it's going to totally kill the print paper?
Totally kill? I'd hate to see the print paper disappear. I mean, I read a paper almost every day, and I'm a big internet guy. I mean, that being said, it's just so much easier to find things on the internet. I mean, like somebody said earlier, if you want to find anything, you just punch it into the search bar, and then bang, you have, you know, 50 options at your fingers. I mean, I think the newspapers are on their way out. They'll probably convert into a more digitalized form, you know, because people need their news and that. But I can't see newspapers lasting for too much longer.
And I ask that, Matt, because I started my journalism career in the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
Until 2004. And when I started in 2000, this was all being talked about, you know, and here we are 15 years later, and newspapers have certainly been fiercely challenged because of what you're saying, all that access to information. And that's what, see, that's the thing. When we talk, Michael, on air, Larkin, about government officials and why people don't do things, there's something that happens in America on a daily basis that is greater than anywhere else in the world. We have more access to information than anywhere. If you look at a country like a Russia or a China, their information is suppressed and filtered and censored. And most of the people in those nations don't, they can't know any better because they don't have access to things like the internet. Here in the U.S., even the lowest of income people, guys, they have access to the web and the internet. And my credit to the president for being an advocate of net neutrality. I don't quite agree that it's a non-issue the way some have made it out to be, but it is a key thing to keep our flow and access to info free and open. But the thing is, Matt, is this, as I say, if we're not taking advantage of this access to info, or we're using it to access information that has zero positive impact in our lives, then we're not doing what is really required as citizens to try to enact change. Government is not the end all be all.
Right.
You know, there is a segment of our population that probably does think that government is the true and ultimate solution, and it's not. However, government are the lawmakers, and the lawmakers have more the people who can influence and get to the lawmakers are the ones who try to always shape the laws. And what that does is that silences and shuts out small business people and small business owners who employ, Larkin, what is it, 78-80% of people in our country. So government is not the end-all be-all, but it needs to position itself for our business owners, and me being one of them, to say that we're in it to see all of you succeed. And you know something, Matt? There is no guarantee of success, but I'll tell you this. I can tell you how to guarantee failure. That I can tell you. I can tell you exactly how to guarantee failure. It's a little bit trickier to guarantee success, but that's what a free market's about, right? It's about letting business succeed and fail on their own merit.
No, for sure. I've been working. I mean, it's on the topic here. Me and my buddy, it was last year, we started we liked our cheesesteaks. I mean, this is basically, we built the premise of the thing. It's a web design company and SEO, search engine optimization. But I was talking to a couple people that I was working with, and they were like, where can I get a good cheesesteak? And I told them a local cheesesteak spot in my town, and they all went to the internet and everything, and nobody could find a menu or anything like that. And it was like, you know, you're not getting this anymore. And people these days, I mean, you're driving home from work and you want, you know, a good cheesesteak, you can just say into your phone, like, hello, Google, good cheesesteak around me. And if you're not, you know, if you don't have a website or you don't have a web presence, you don't come up. You know, they go to the Domino's or the, you know, the big businesses and everything that can afford to do these things. So I feel like, you know, a web presence is a big deal for small businesses these days, especially I feel like they make the good products, really.
You're right, Matt. Web presence is very important. In fact, our internet sites really attract a lot of people, which I'm pleased with,
right.
Especially that people who live at a distance are able to listen to our broadcast at night, weekends, whenever they choose.
Mm-hmm.
We may be only 1 hour devoting to American Workers Radio, but that 1 hour is circulated between a lot of people. And that's why I always ask our listeners to make sure they go out of their way to email at the link that we send out in the afternoon to other family members and friends to get them involved in the cause. From a few ideas, we've grown into an enormous amount of publicity for American workers. We've been doing a great job. Larkin, I'm hoping that our elected officials will continue and help us to make our success even more successful. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to pause for a few sponsor acknowledgments. I want to thank all of our sponsors because they do support our broadcast 7 days a week here on 860 and our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio. As you know, this weekend is National Small Business Weekend, as is the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. We're depending on you to help your local businesses. Make sure you mention to them that you're a supporter of National Small Business Weekend. And if they don't know much or anything about it, let them go to our internet site. It's very easy to remember, nationalsmallbusinessweekend.com. Also, as we celebrate Easter and many other special occasions during the next few days, All of our sponsors want to wish you and yours the very best, and they include Leon Mankuski, attorney at law, Mr. Chester Kshanovsky, president of Serena's Auto Body Shop, and everyone from the Net Cost Market located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, as well as from Mr. Joseph Drobot, national president of the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, as well as Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and Dr. Eva Machak, who has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you, and Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, whose office is located on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Philadelphia. And when you're in the Port Richmond area, and if you need some special holiday celebration food, make sure you go to Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. And if you're thinking of doing some traveling, make sure you stop by the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. And all of our friends and supporters from Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928, wish you and yours a very happy Easter. Veso ego, alleluia, veso ishvion. And best wishes as well from Mr. Martin Bednarek, who is the president of the Washington Savings Bank. They have five locations in Philadelphia to serve your banking needs. They hope that you will have a great Easter holiday, and thank you for supporting American Workers Radio. Also, Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And our friend Karen Janod of State Farm Insurance reminds you that for all of your auto, home, and life insurance needs, call on Karen Janod at State Farm Insurance. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. And for a great smile, make sure you contact Dr. Wojciech Zinn of Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And as everyone celebrates during this very special time of year, Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the PNA, the Polish National Alliance, wishes all of you a very happy Easter. Veso ego, alleluia, veso I świąt. Also, best wishes from our friends and supporters from the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union. For more information about their many locations across the USA, visit them on the internet at psfcu.com. And our supporters from the Sugar House Casino want to wish you and yours the very best. For more information about all that's taking place at the Sugar House Casino, visit them on the internet at sugarhousecasino.com. And as you go on your internet, make sure you log on to American Workers Radio, where you'll see the great members of our panel, including Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. And do click on some of the other links that we have there, especially National Small Business Weekend, which takes place this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. For more information, encourage people to check out NationalSmallBusinessWeekend.com. Well, Larkin, it's been an interesting day today. Your first full-time visit to us from Florida as a new citizen of Florida, but we're not letting you go, period. In fact, I'm going to tell you to tell your wife that you have to be in Philly at least twice a month. That'll be a way for you to get out of Dodge. What do you think?
Well, twice a month might be a little much, Michael. I'm not sure, but I have not broken any of my ties with the city of Philadelphia, and I very proudly am a part of your panel of the Women's Opportunity Resource Center and SCORE in the Northeast. So my presence will be up there, whether I want to or not. I've got to be up there. This is the first, and I've got to tell you the look on my wife's face when we moved in Monday morning. And I told her that Wednesday morning I had to leave for Boston. That went
over. But wait, Larkin, you haven't encountered any alligators down where you are, have you?
No, not yet. Although I'm very close to the St. Johns River, I have not seen alligators. I've seen a couple people that are mean as alligators, but I haven't run into any alligators yet.
Well, Larkin, now that they know you're down there, they'll be hunting, so make sure that front door is closed at all times in the night because you may have a visitor in there.
Very tightly closed.
You know, guys, I'm going to ask all of our listeners and our internet listeners, radio listeners, and our friends who will be tuning in later today to make sure you go out determined to support American-made products. I'm really pleased to state that as I've been going around lately, I see more and more American things being highlighted. And it's mainly because people are starting to put a little flag on their item or red, white, and blue to make your eye go to it. So maybe we can encourage more of that as time goes on. In fact, maybe that will be one of the agendas that we take up when Mark comes in and Larkin comes in and Rich comes in and Henry Chaplinsky, all of us will be out there. We're going to go to the visitor center. And Larkin, you're going to maybe be able to meet Ben Franklin and George Washington on that visit. And, you know, it's just going to be a great visit. I'm just asking everybody to mark on their calendar Wednesday, April the 29th. It's going to be a very interesting day. You'll be able to see Mark and all the members of the panel at some point in the day, whether you come here to the Cultural Center building or you see us at the Visitor Center. We'll be at the Liberty Bell for some photo opportunities and also at Independence Hall. And we are going to the Constitution Center as well. It's going to be a great day. Plan to visit historic Philadelphia that day. That's Wednesday, April the 29th. More information will be published in the next edition of our newspaper, and it will be online in about a week. But mark the calendar and plan to attend. Dr. Richard, what else would you like to add to our efforts on this April Fool's Day?
Well, Michael, I've realized the ills of my ways. I can only vote Democrat and Republican from here on out. I've given in. The lesser of two evils works. I'm not going to no, I'm just kidding. That's my bad April Fool's joke. Guys, I'll tell you that. Let me report, Michael, a brief first quarter report from my customers, almost all of whom are businesses and some are business owners. And in fact, one of our new and newest fans of the show, a gentleman by the name of Jim Austin, we're going to have him on very soon. I know he's listening right now. Shout out to Jim. The report, Michael, that I'm getting from our customers at RJL is that there's some pleasant surprises for some increased business that wasn't expected. Of course, business owners have to deal with all of the challenges of owning a business. No guarantee at all for success. But the reports I'm getting, Michael, are overall positive and encouraging. I think that is an important thing to share. It's easy to always focus on the bad, and God knows we've got a lot of things. There are a lot of severe, significant flaws and issues in our country we need to work on. But business owners are giving me some good news, and I want to pass that along.
Very good. And you know, Rich, as people speak up, business people are getting the idea that the American people want change, that they're just tired of the same old, you know. Somebody's bringing stuff in and they're making a ton of money and the American people are out of a job. That's why people have to go in and speak up where they shop so that store owners see that people are willing to hold back their dollars. I do. I tell them off on the spot. Real nice. I tell them, like, I would buy that if it was American made, but it's not. And I know that it was American made. And it's not now, so I'm not going to buy it. So I let them know that they're losing a sale. And that's the type of impression that it leaves an impression with people. If they thought that they could make a few bucks on this sale, if they had a 50-50 balance, I could make a selection. I'll take the American-made this time. I'll take the foreign-made next time. But if I don't have any selection, I'm not interested in supporting that store. It's as simple as that. And that's all I'm asking our listeners to do when they go out. And during National Small Business Weekend, let me tell you something. I have never seen more people interested in promoting this effort. When we had that the Small Business Expo, and I had these signs up, which I have sitting in the studio today. I put them up, and people were looking at it, and they said, sure, it's sensible. Local residents remain employed. Local delivery and marking services are all going to be utilized. It creates and supports a vibrant community. Does anybody want to walk in a community where half the stores are boarded up? No. This is what America's all about. Yes, we have a huge amount of stores, but if they were able to make it 6, 10, and 15 years ago, why aren't they able to make it now? I know the big stores have taken over some of the businesses, and that's why we're promoting National Small Business Weekend, because people tell me, people got used to going to the mall, grabbing the shopping cart, roaming around the stores. It's like a little city in there, and they forgot about their local communities. That can't continue. That's why I plead with people. Please go out of your way to support your local communities. And I'm going to get some of the people from the business associations in here in the next month or so to tell us what they would recommend to help bring some products back. Remember, the business owners also have a part in this. They have to talk up to their merchandisers and say, I need more American-made products on your list. And that's it. That's final. Larkin?
Yes, sir.
O'Neill's is upset. I'm upset that we're not going to be at O'Neill's over this Easter holiday. We're not going to be celebrating, you know, all the Dingo's days and all this jazz. We got to do something. I know, but it's not the same. When Larkin is at O'Neill's, we're shouting out to O'Neill's, but I want to tell you, when Larkin goes to O'Neill's, it's like having a rock star in there or something. Everybody knows him. I mean, Larkin, we're going to have to get a picture of you and post it on the wall and say, be prepared to see Larkin in here one day soon.
So the last night I was in there, which was Friday night with my son, Spoonie looked at me and said, aren't you gone yet?
Well, they got a lot of pictures in on the walls there, Larkin. I don't see why we can't get one and put you up there and have people. You know, Henry, I think that's a good idea. When we
there is one on the second floor. It's on the dartboard.
Matt, how did you enjoy today's broadcast?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, for sure. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I was just thinking. I mean, what you were just saying. With calling people out and making, you know, you got to talk up the American-made products. I mean, if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem.
Right.
And, you know, the more people we get talking, that puts pressure on people who need to make the decisions that are going to further the efforts.
And so many of the people were sheepish for years. They didn't want to sound like they're prejudiced or something, like I'm against foreign-made. But as people saw that their family and friends are without a job, they started to say, well, I got to start speaking up. And then when we had people like Larkin and Rich and Mark and so many others come forward and we do our commentaries, and I want to send a shout out to all the radio broadcasters. We have 20 of them now who do promote the program, who do promote my weekly commentaries. I want to thank them because they're also helping the movement. As if people didn't hear about the good things we're trying to do, there would be no progress made. Dr. Rich, as we come near the last 5 minutes of our broadcast, what predictions would you have for the second quarter of the year, the first day of the second quarter?
Well, for us, Michael, we finished our 2014 as our seventh year in business. Every year we've been in business, our sales have increased. Every single year. I was blissfully naive when I started up our company, not knowing what would happen. It's a lot like what Patrice talked about last week. You know, you start up a business, you have a great idea. You know it's a great idea, but then it's in the plan and the application and the marketing part of it. And for us, we've got numerous things we're working on and numerous things that we're working on with our customers. And I am encouraged, Michael. I will say I am really heartened and encouraged by a lot of what our clients and our customers are telling us. But for every bit of good news, there can be some bad or lukewarm news as well. And business people and business owners, we're all in an environment now that does have a lot of opportunity, but it's probably, maybe, I don't know this, and I would defer to Larkin and guys like Mark on this, it might be the toughest time ever in our economic history to succeed as a small business owner. But I wouldn't have it any other way, Michael.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way, as hard as it is and as difficult as it is and the sleepless nights behind it. You know, on one hand, this is kind of the job we signed up for, but there is reward. There is reward for taking on that risk and being able to effectively market yourself and your products and your services. It's why I really give a shout-out to Patrice. And when we have our customer Jim on, Jim Austin, hopefully very soon, he's going to give his story about what he's doing is assembling PCs here in the U.S. And they're assembled here, distributed here, and they're made up of some American-made parts. So the good news, guys, is that there is light coming through the rain clouds. But here's the concern, Michael, in saying that. See, we all like good news, don't we? But here's what happens with good news sometimes. Sometimes with good news, people feel like they got to take their foot off the gas. And when we're hearing good news, that's not to say, well, great, everything's happening on its own. See, look, it's cyclical. We're gonna get back to the way it was. No, no, no. Successful business people never wait for anything. They're not waiters. They're not BSers. They're doers, right? They grab it by the basketballs, and then they run with it because that's what successful business people do.
You're absolutely right, Rich. Larkin, what would you add to our closing moments of the program?
Well, I'll just say happy April 1st to everybody. Second quarter of business is about to begin, and let's everybody go out and get in the spirit of feeding and supporting the American economy.
Mark,
the rest will take care of itself.
Mark is enjoying a day off today, and I want to wish all of his people who listen to the radio up there in Buffalo, I want to wish all of them a very happy Easter. Veso ego, alleluia, veso ishviont. And guys, it's really time to shift the new global economy so it benefits America. And with your help, we're going to continue to create a win-win situation for American workers and America's economy. Kindly spread the word, because your words really mean more than you realize. I want to thank Matt Stubinsky for being with us here today. Hopefully he'll be joining us from time to time.
Yeah,
and I also want to thank Rich Loges and Larkin Connolly for being with us today. Make sure, Larkin, you have that on your calendar, the 29th of April in Philadelphia. It's going to be a great, great event. All of you, my very best wishes until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11. Best wishes. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word. And make sure you email the rebroadcast of today's show to all of your family members and friends. Have a great afternoon.
Take care.
Happy Easter. Thanks, guys.